And welcome to Big Blue Hits presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino along with Roman Oben, and we'll be here for the next half hour to talk about Giants football as they get set for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Our number, if you want to give us a call, is 201-939-4513. And Roman, for a Giants team that is 0-4 and desperately in need of a win, this team's pretty loose right now.
Yeah, they are, and I think every week they've refocused and they've, you know, gone into Sunday with at least a good plan. And now all that plan has to do is just come together for execution on Sunday and result in a victory.
Now, when we take a look at the injury report and we list it as the Adorama news of the day, we find out that David Deal is not one of the guys who's expected to be out. Rather, he's expected to be in. Roman, he is going to start at right guard against the Eagles.
Well, when you started seeing what was going on inside with Boss and Snead, you said, well, if Deal could come back, because Deal is so versatile, he could play any one of five positions on the offensive line practically. So playing at right guard really gives this Giants team offensively a good sense of optimism. You ran the ball well last week at Kansas City. You started, you know, almost 100 yards. So this week there will be some yards to be had, but David Deal is a guy that probably gives that offensive line a little bit of a lift because of all the snaps that he's played on the line.
Again, our number is 201-939-4513, but Roman, on the defensive side of the ball, the injury list is not nearly as pleasant.
Yeah, I mean, especially up front with the defensive tackles. I mean, you look at, obviously, Jaron Hosley with the defensive backs, Cullen Jenkins, who's really been one of the mainstays, Lanville Joseph. I mean, that's your starting defensive line up front. Obviously, you know, Corey Webster at the bottom. That changes the, you know, whether you go nickel, who do you put at the nickel spot, because you have to defend so much with the Eagles' defense. And on the other guys, look at the full participation on the bottom. But again, when you start having guys like at the defensive tackle position, at the cornerback position, that changes so much. This team is deep on the defensive line, but you still have to get other guys in like Hankins and, you know, Patterson. They're going to have to do more than just role play during the game on Sunday.
And we will be expecting a roster move before Sunday because Will Hill comes back off of the suspended list. And that means the Giants in all likelihood are going to want to get him on the active 53, if for no other reason, because he's good on special teams.
Yeah, and when you have guys like Jaron Hosley injured or Corey Webster, it means a younger guy has to step up and play more than nickel. And that also affects the special teams rotation. I mean, Mark Herzog was also on that injury list as well. But again, Will Hill is a guy who's, this could be great time for him to make a return to the active roster on Sunday.
Okay, now let's talk about the defensive tackles for a second. You alluded to it during the injury report. You're looking at Hankins, Patterson, and really, it's like they're decimated. They got Rodgers, who practiced today, did not practice yesterday, so who knows how long he's going to be able to go in the game on Sunday. This is a very, very important deal when you consider LeSean McCoy is the Eagles' running back.
Well, but you still have a lot of guys, Paul, that have played. I mean, Mike Patterson has been a starter. Sean Rodgers has been a starter. You have a deep defensive line for a reason, and this is a week where you have two guys injured. The next guy's got to step up and really give the same amount of production because, like you said, with Shady McCoy, Deshaun Fought on the outside, Michael Vick, I mean, you're going to have a lot of things to defend, and you've got to really be sound, especially between that tackle-to-tackle on what could happen on the inside.
Hankins is very energetic and athletic, and as a matter of fact, you know, one of the things that the Giants were hoping is that he would pick up some things from the veterans.
They've been behind me since camp started. You know, their defensive line has always been about competition, you know, and we've got so many great defensive tackles in their room. You know, so we help each other out, and, you know, we all looking forward for everybody to do well. So, you know, they could be behind me and I'm going to be behind them. So whoever's out there, we definitely going to be ruining more.
Hankins is a second-round pick out of Ohio State who's been a healthy scratch for the first month of the season, Roman, because quite honestly, the Giants needed numbers at other positions.
Yeah, and that plays to Hankins' strengths because no one scouted him. If you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you're saying, we don't know what this guy can do. We know he's a second-round pick. He was highly productive in practice. Maybe you see some preseason games where he was pretty solid. But again, Hankins is a guy that can really plug that middle and be a little bit of a force inside between those A and B gaps. And I think, you know, unlike starting a new quarterback, starting a new left tackle or corner, a defensive lineman who just plays stout and solid can actually do a really good job for a guy who hasn't been in there.
And, you know, the other guy who the Eagles won't have a lot of film on is DeMontre Moore. He's been doing well on specials, but as a pass rusher, no one's seen him.
Yeah, and look, what DeMontre Moore, he almost blocked another punt last week. He blocked one in preseason. He almost blocked the one last week.
How did the flexion? Coughlin,
talked about he should have had his eyes below the ball and looked at the foot of the kicker, but He played gunner on one snap as well. I mean, he's got great athletic ability. He just has to learn how to do it as a defensive end in the National Football League, which he's very, very capable of doing.
Well, despite the fact that McCoy and Vic like to run the ball a lot for Philadelphia, the Eagles have given up 14 sacks this year, tied for fifth worst in the NFL, and DeMontre Moore might help the Giants' pass rush in getting after the QB. When we come back, we'll delve more into this matchup between the Giants and Eagles, so stick around.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody down. Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants!
There you go. Giants.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
The road to victory is paved Giants blue. And that road runs through only one network. Yep, MSG. Where Big Blue fans get the best Big Blue shows. Like Giants First and 10. 10 things fans need to know for Sunday's game.
Touchdown, Giants!
And there's Giants Rewind, where Bob Papa and Carl Banks break down last Sunday's game. Yeah, Giants First and 10 and Giants Rewind. Just two reasons why the only true blue home for true blue fans is MSG.
Our number here is 201-939-4513. If you'd like to talk Giants football, don't forget coming up in just a bit, Anita Marks, to talk fantasy football. But right now we delve back into the Giants and Eagles matchup, and everybody knows that Chip Kelly brought this Oregon Ducks offense to Philadelphia. They are exciting, they are fancy, they are high-powered, but Justin Tuck says there is a way to combat it.
I think the biggest challenge is just confusion and chaos. I think they want to, you know, they go fast, and they ain't no doubt about that. But I think defense is that, you know, you got to simplify things, and they know that. But you do have to simplify. And I think the teams that have been, at the line of scrimmage, ready to go when they're ready to go, have, you know, had better success against them.
Okay, so Roman, you're talking about a 78 RPM record in
right.
terms of that Eagles offense.
Right.
What kind of effect does that have on a defensive unit?
I think you look at a guy like Michael Vick, who's historically been a great athlete and what he could do with the ball, run and pass. But this year, with this Chip Kelly's offense, he's only been under the center, you know, roughly a dozen times. Otherwise, he's always in that pistol or a shotgun. The options are run, hand it off to Shady McCoy, or throw the ball. So defensively, you've got to defend everything. And you almost have to have three things in your head at once when the ball snapped for the Eagles offensively. And when they do run the ball, if you're on your heels, you're backpedaling, if you're reading, oh, and here comes LeSean McCoy, here comes Michael Vick keeping on the run, you're always almost playing catch-up mode. So it's hard to go forward. It's hard to attack because of the vulnerability that you create yourself. And let's not forget DeSean Jackson on the outside, who's very great in space. He's an undersized guy, but he does well with creating mismatches. So there's a lot of things you've got to think about when you're on the field against that Eagles offense.
Bad news for the Giants defense. We've already told you about a lot of the injuries. Well, that means the rotation is going to be shortened, and that means some guys are going to be sucking wind.
And yeah, exactly, Paul. And with that high-tempo offense, it creates an inability for you defensively to come in and out of your substitutions. And I think fans have to understand that. If you can't tap in and tap out and switch personnel, you might get a first and second down traditional personnel and spread those guys out. Now you've got a Will linebacker or an outside linebacker covering a receiver, you know, covering, you know, two solid tight ends.
Well, of course, the offense may get a little tired as well, but they've been used to it now because they've been training for it all summer long. Coy Webster, Giants corner, who's battling a groin injury right now, says he thinks the defense might be a little bit more prepared for this than you might think.
Yeah, we did a couple of different things, and just in practice, just to, I mean, our offense does it. I think Eli is the best when he gets in the 2 minute and just keep on going down the line. So everybody have their own little niche about it. I just think we have to be cognizant of it and run back to the line of scrimmage, get our eyes on our keys, and get ready to lock and load and play some ball.
Okay, so Coy Webster, one of the Giants DBs who's nicked up. We talked about Hosley and Ross earlier, and we just don't know about their availability. Once again, our number is 201-939-4513, and obviously facing the Eagles, DeSean Jackson and company, a bad time to have injuries in the secondary. Let's go to the phones, and Steve from Georgia, you are first on Big Blue Hits. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
No, it's D. I'm sorry. When you say Steve, I'm like, Steve. It's D. How y'all doing, man?
Great.
Well.
Great.
Hey, I just want to say, first off, Roman, I listen to you all the time, man. You really know what you're talking about when it comes to this football, man. I like
Thank
your
you.
Insight. But I just want to say, what do you think the young players, Jonathan Hankins and DeMontre Moore, the kind of impact they're going to have this week playing against the Eagles?
Well, I think, you know, and we just talked about the defensive tackles, D, that, you know, we've all been young players in this league at one point or another, and at some point, your young players have to get those reps, and you've got to learn how to not only just be a good athlete, have a good game or two in preseason, but you've got to be able to do it when it counts, and whether it's via injury or via, you know, you earning a starting spot, when you get that chance, you got to take advantage of it. So I think athletically, DeMontre Moore and Hankins, they have the tools, they have the abilities, but now they've got to get the experience and get some. I mean, you want DeMontre Moore to get 6-7 sacks this year. You want Hankins to be a viable option in that next up for that defensive tackle position because of the age of Sean Rogers and some of the guys in front of him.
Thank you so much for the call. Hey, let me ask you about this, though, Roman. We're talking about getting the pass rush going, and DeMontre Moore could help with that. But McCoy's run for like 450 yards already this year, 6 yards a carry, incredibly dangerous. And Moore has not been known to be as good against the run as against the pass. So the more he's in there, the more vulnerable the Giants are to McCoy.
Well, I think the Eagles don't just run at people now. They make you read and dissect, and Justin Tuck talked about the confusion. They make you try to defend everything, and then they run those certain plays in spurts. So, I mean, Shady McCoy is not known for running off tackles, shoving it down your throat. It's give them the ball in space, give them a draw, a screen, a quick play where you can get a quick hitting play and make a guy miss. I mean, that's what he's known for. So, DeMontre Moore, athletically, I think it matches up well with McCoy on the field. It's not a situation where he's just a pass rusher and he can't absorb that point of attack. I think he can run well, he can cover ground, and a defensive tackle, you've got to really be good from the numbers to the sideline, you know, numbers to the hash. I mean, that's where your lane or gap integrity is, if you will.
And then obviously it puts a lot of pressure on the linebackers as well. You'll recall how Jaquan Williams has been very good as a spy against Michael Vick in the past. All right, stick around when we come back, more on the Giants and Eagles. But you know, this rivalry's as good as it gets. I know you Giants fans love it. But we got a few other things that you may not know about these two teams.
Here are the 10 things you need to know about the Giants-Eagles rivalry. 10, the number of touchdown catches Kyle Wrote recorded in his career against the Eagles, the most by any Giants player in the series history. Ron Johnson and Joe Morrison are tied for the most overall touchdowns by a Giant against Philadelphia with 12. 9. The longest regular season win streak against the Eagles is 9 games, stretching from 1938 to 1942. 8. Last year was the 8th straight season without back-to-back NFC East champions since the Eagles won 4 in a row from 2001 to 2004. 7. Carl Spider Lockhart recorded 7 interceptions against the Eagles from 1965 to 1975, the most in series history. Aaron Ross has 3 and is the only active Giants player with more than 1 against the division rival. 6. OCU Manura set a Giants record with 6 sacks of Philadelphia quarterback Donovan McNabb in Week 4 of 2007. The former Giants defensive end was one short of Kansas City's Derek Thomas's league record, but the Giants tied the NFL team record that day with 12 overall. 5. The number of touchdowns Eli Manning threw against the Eagles last year. the most by a Giants quarterback in a game against Philadelphia. Two quarterbacks combined for five touchdowns previously in a 1972 meeting. Norm Snead threw three, while Randy Johnson tallied two on just five attempts in a 62-10 victory at home over the Eagles. Four. Since Tom Coughlin took over in 2004, the Giants have split the season series with their NFC East rivals four times: 2006, 2008, 2011, and last year. Three. The Giants have hosted the Eagles three times in MetLife Stadium, which opened in 2010. They're 1-2 in those games, with their lone victory coming in the regular season finale last year by a score of 42-7.
At the 15, Manning out of the gun, back to throw. Looks, throws right, he's got Wilson in the end zone, who makes the catch for the touchdown.
Two. Out of the 160 meetings, regular and postseason, the Giants and Eagles have tied twice. The last coming in 1973, when they were locked in a 23-23 tie at Yankee Stadium. The other was a 21-21 stalemate in 1944 at Philadelphia. One. Eli Manning recorded a few firsts of his NFL career against the Philadelphia Eagles in week one of his 2004 rookie season, while backing up Kurt Warner. First play, a handoff to Tiki Barber for a 72-yard touchdown run.
Right, handoff, Barber runs right. Tiki across the 35 to the 40. In the clear, across midfield to the 40. It's a foot race, 30, 15,
make it.
20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tiki Barber.
Should've
72 yards.
Should have put Manning in a little while ago.
And welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess, Paul Dottino and Roman Oben with you, 201-939-4513. I love watching some of those old highlights, especially from the old films in the 70s. Great stuff. Hey, I got to tell you something, Roman. Victor Cruz, despite all of the offensive woes that this team has had, boy, he is really doing a good job. Three out of the first four games, he's had at least 100 yards receiving, and he thinks this offense is just a little bit off of sync, but can get there very quickly.
That's a question for the coaching staff. We're just here, and they implement game plans for us to execute, and we just got to go out there and play. That stuff that they, you know, they've been around this league a long time, and they know what works and what doesn't work, or what is going to work, and things like that, and they're able to adjust on the fly. So that's stuff that they have to go through, and we have to go out there and execute the game plan that they put in front of us.
Yes, it's all about execution, and the question posed to Cruz was about what can you do to help the offense be better, and you know, he thinks the passing game could be better, but also the run game has to be better.
Yeah, and I think as that running game improves, it's going to open up the passing game, because it's going to start to draw the safeties. It's going to start to let the linebackers, people start to creep up towards the line of scrimmage, because the running game becomes a threat. And when that running game becomes a legitimate threat, you have more one-on-one matchups and more abilities for, you know, Cruz and Nix and Brandon Myers and Ruben Randall to create plays in space. So I think the running game and the passing game, when an offense is going well, really go hand in hand.
Now, you know, the players have to execute to give the coaches confidence to call the plays that the players want to get called. It really works hand in hand.
Yeah, and Victor Cruz said it right. They put in these plays during the week, and with an expectation that any defense has holes, right? Any defense you play against has holes, just like any offense has holes. So you focus on the things you think you can do well, but you still have to go out there and execute. So I think fans have, and we've said this a few times on this show, fans will start, oh, is it Gilbride? Is it play calling? Why don't do this? Why don't do that? Well, when the plays are working, no one's questioning the play calling, but those same plays aren't working because players aren't executing. They blame it on the play calling. Maybe they should change things. I think if you're confident in what's being done, what's being called from the sideline, the 11 guys in the huddle are the ones that have to make it work, and they also have to make the adjustments on what the defense is showing them as well.
Okay, Roman, the Giants ran for over 90 yards against Kansas City. That was a season high. What did you see there that you liked? I will tell you personally, I'd like to see more Brandon Jacobs this week against Philadelphia.
Well, I definitely liked just the last few weeks, David Wilson, you know, some of the runs, even that one that was called back for a touchdown in Carolina, protecting the football, you know, running between the tackles. These weren't just draws and little high percentage plays that can create big gains. But again, you talk about Brandon Jacobs. You signed John Connor two weeks ago. I'd like to see him get involved at that pure fullback position, which is a physicality that was much, much needed for offense. And again, Brandon Jacobs, I think this is the kind of game, I mean, he's played against the Eagles a lot. I mean, this is a game where you give Brandon Jacobs 10 to 15 carries, I think he's going to break one for 20 or 30 yards.
He's going to be fired
up. Yeah, he's going to be fired up. He wants to beat the Eagles more so than anybody. So, but again, he's got to get those opportunities to run the ball. As well.
Okay, Roman, back to the phones. And Nazar from New York. Hello, you're next on Big Blue Hits.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show, and both you guys, I always listen to all you guys, and I'm just a huge fan. I'm a Giants fan growing up, and I just wanted to just point out a little thing. With the 0-4 start and with the slow start the Giants are obviously going at, what do you guys have to make for, you know, Justin Tuck and Antrel Roll with their statements of Antrel Roll saying the team's going to go 12-0, and Justin Tuck saying that if any of these teammates talk about Tom Coughlin, he's going to punch them in the mouth. I mean, these are captains on the team. Like, what do you have to make for, you know, these players talking with all, like, with all
Nazar, the I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let Roman answer the question, but I'll just say very simply, these are captains trying to fire up that locker room.
Yeah, and they have to do that. And if I'm Antrel Roll, I have to, I don't get out of bed on Monday mornings if I don't have a belief system that we can win every game. I mean, that's the mentality that you have to have. If you're Justin Tuck, you're saying, it's not on Coughlin. It's on me. I'm a leader. Come through me. Let's control the jail cell from the inmates, so to speak. Not to use that analogy, but it starts with the locker room and who's got to execute.
Another call, Roman. This is Joe from California. Hello, you're next on Big Blue Hits.
Hey, Paulie, how are you?
Hi.
Hey, I'm just wondering, you know, from my belief standpoint is I'm thinking that we're just outmatched by strength, agility, and speed right now. And just the Giants don't seem to be dominant up on the line. Is there anything that they can do to improve that? Or do you think it's something that we just need a new lineup?
Well, Roman, you know, if you don't win the trenches, you don't win.
Yeah, and you can't just replace the lineup and bring someone else in. I mean, most of the best players in the league are at their respective teams, or their respective teams. So I think guys need to execute more. We've said this a lot. You know, guys need to step up and play well. Young guys need to step up. I mean, everybody's live, whether you're a special teams gunner, whether you're, speaking of special teams, you saw punt returns get returned for touchdowns. You've got to protect a quarterback who's very capable of shredding any defense. And you've got to maximize any opportunity you get on the field because, frankly, this Eagles team is 1-3. They're only one step ahead of the Giants. You've got to seize all those opportunities.
All right, Roman, we'll see you again next time.
Thanks, my pleasure.
All right, when we come back from the break, it's time to talk fantasy football with Anita Marks. So stick around.
The objective of the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation is to be there for families who have a child with leukemia, cancer, other forms of cancer.
Tom Coughlin, nice to meet you. Are you a Giant fan? Well, you're a pretty girl.
It's a tremendous feeling to just be with these kids, to have a little bit of an idea of what the families and the children are going through, and again, to try to bring a smile to their face and to let them know that, you know what? We do care.
Yeah, turn everybody.
Yeah.
There's so many things pulling at that family when your child is diagnosed with cancer. What we try to do is keep that core, keep them a family.
Just lightening their burden a little bit is huge for them because it's one less thing that they have to worry about. They can focus on their child and their child getting the treatment that they need.
Giants!
There you go.
This is an important message for all Giants fans attending the games at MetLife Stadium. In an effort to enhance public safety, a new NFL bag policy will be implemented this season. Guests are welcome to carry in clear bags, 12 inches by 6 by 12, or small purses and handbags that are 4.5 by 6.5 inches or less in size. Any non-clear bag exceeding the size limit, including camera or binocular cases, will not be permitted. The Giants appreciate your assistance and cooperation with the following policies. For more information, go to Giants.com.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Welcome back to Big Blue Hits, presented by Hess. I'm Paul Dottino, now joined by the fantasy football guru, Anita Marks. Hello.
I like it. Fantasy football guru. I'll take it.
That's what people tell me.
I'll take it.
Hey, big news. There was a quarterback cut today.
Huge news.
I mean, what happened?
I think the writing really was on the wall. Josh Freeman, quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucs, was released just a few hours ago. From what I understand, the Bucs tried to trade him. But who's going to trade for Josh Freeman when all the other 31 teams in the NFL knew that the Bucs were going to cut him anyway? The big question mark is, what happens to him now? There's one team called the Jacksonville Jaguars, still in the state of Florida, that is in need of a quarterback. They have Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne, which really doesn't do much for anyone in fantasy. Don't be surprised. Maybe he lands there. Maybe the Vikings, Cleveland. It looks like they're really in love with this Brian Hoyer guy who will be playing later on tonight on Thursday Night Football. I think either the Vikings or the Jacksonville Jaguars might be a landing place for Josh Freeman.
Okay, still a big story in the AFC, and it's kind of like waiting for grass to grow. Mm-hmm. Is Gronk.
Why
are we ever going to see him?
Do you own him in one of your leagues?
No, I do not.
Is that why? You don't even play, Polly.
There you go.
Yes, it does not look like Gronk is going to play until week 6. Also, on top of that, you have Danny Amendola. Don't mean to get gross with everyone here, but apparently his groin has torn off the bone. Yes. Now this is
ouch.
This is really interesting. So no Amendola. That's what's expected in week 5. Kimbrell Tompkins is dealing with a shoulder. Dobson is dealing with a neck, so there are reports. The Patriots have not officially announced this yet, but apparently Austin Collie was seen at practice today with the New England Patriots. So maybe news will be announced a little bit later on this afternoon. We know how NFL teams like to announce stuff post 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Exactly.
But Austin Collie, keep an eye on that. I mean, he might play for Tom Brady this week.
Now, see, even I know that when teams don't play, you can't play your guys in fantasy football.
Right.
So the Vikes, Bucks,
very wise.
Skins, and Steelers will not be playing. So that means you got to try to find alternatives, right?
Right. So, again, the Vikings, the Bucks, the Redskins, and the Pittsburgh Steelers all on a bye. So if you're looking for a quarterback, tonight is the night. I really like Brian Hoyer. In fact, I'm going on a limb here. I'm actually benching Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 49ers.
And you love Cappy.
I do, but I'm benching him. He's going up against Houston, and he really hasn't done well for most fantasy football folks out there. But I'm playing Brian Hoyer and Josh Gordon as a 1-2 punch. It's risky because if they don't put up good numbers, then more than likely I'm probably going to lose my matchup. But the Bills, their secondary is really beat up. I really like Hoyer. Also, running backs, Rashad Jennings is going to get the start for Darren McFadden, who's been dealing with a hamstring issue. Justin Blackman, he served his 4-game suspension. He's back. Granted, again, what quarterback does he have with the Jacksonville Jaguars? But there's always those mop-up minutes that Cecil Shorts gets. Mm-hmm. I think Blackman will get those. I love Kellen Winslow with the Jets going up against Atlanta, because Holmes and Hill are out this week. So Curley and Kellen Winslow will be the number one and number two option for Geno Smith. And last but not least, the Rams, their defense going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're available on like 50% of most waiver wires going into this week. How can you allow that to happen?
Wow. Now, we're a quarter of the season into the books, Anita. Four games in, that's 4 times 4 is 16, right? Okay. I'm good at math.
I know.
I should be doing this
fantasy
Mensa stuff.
Who knew?
But I'll tell you what. There are some guys who have really lit up the FF boards already.
FF boards, I love it. Peyton Manning, get this, Paul, 151 points, 35 points more than the second quarterback in the NFL, and his average draft position was 26. That means Peyton was selected in the 3rd round. You want to talk about a steal?
How's that happen?
Adrian Peterson, the number one running back. Victor Cruz, the number one wide receiver with 64 points. Jimmy Graham, the number one tight end. Kansas City, the number one defense with 62 points. And last but not least, Matt Prater, who is the number one field goal kicker. Thank you very much, Peyton Manning.
5 seconds. Giants-Eagles game on Sunday. Who's your number one fantasy player?
Really? You're going to put me on the hot seat?
Why not?
LeSean McCoy. Don't hate me. Don't hate me.
That's pretty good. That'll do it for Anita Marks permanently.
Oh.
We'll be back again, of course, next week with Big Blue Hits. I'm Paul Dottino. See you next time.
I can't believe you put me on the hot seat like that. Really?